We live by the faith of the Son of God. Faith ensures productivity. That means every time we mix faith with the Word of God, we are productive. The Word is the gospel. That means the gospel was designed for your faith. The gospel, the Word of God, is the raw material for faith. The factory for the fabrication of faith is your spirit. The machine, Malakaya. The equipment for fabricating the faith is meditation. You need to raise the level of your faith so you can raise the level of your productivity.
Destiny, not your tongue and your destiny, because I said there is a picture I want to paint for you. Amen. And that is a picture of God's call upon your life. Okay. The purpose of the local church transcends just meeting immediate needs of people. Church is not the shrine. Amen. And pastors are not babalawos. You see, when you're a part of a ministry that looks like all that is done is meeting your immediate need, you are not being helped. Have it together. If you are in a place where you are not being strategically prepared in spiritual capacity building, listen, actually, church services ought to be strategic spiritual capacity building. Glory to God. That helps people get prepared, get trained on how to live the Christian life now, and get them ready for ministry. Okay. For the days to come. Glory to God. This is what the church is for. You know, when you go to a babalawo's house, a mamalawo's house, there is no attachment. You just go there to meet your need. The people are not here. So let me say, the person just goes there for what is at hand. Baba, this is what I need. Amen. This is the portion I want and all that. And then they go home. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Nobody wants to stay there for long because the purpose is transient. Now, because of the background of superstition, of idol worship in Africa, a lot of people have that kind of approach to the church of God. And most Christians have crossed over into Christianity with it, especially some of the older generation. So, unconsciously, we think church is a place where we should have a quick fix. Okay? A quick fix. This is the need I have. Meet it now. Now, there's nothing wrong, and I've said this before. Any ministry, any church, any pastor or apostle who is not passionate enough to help people solve their immediate problem doesn't have the compassion of Jesus. Are we together? So in the ministry of Jesus, we saw that the Lord was concerned about meeting people's immediate needs. But beyond that, he ministered to their destiny. Are we together? And this is the example we must follow. That beyond meeting immediate needs, we must minister to the destiny of God's people. When they come every Sunday, every midweek, we must hold up a picture for them to see, a picture for them to behold. We must empower a picture in their hearts. Hallelujah. You see, when the power of God comes upon a person, or let me put it this way, it is the pictures in our hearts that the power of God gives motion to. Have it together. So if the picture you have as a believer is that of immediate needs, the power of God will give motion to them. You will have the house, the cars, the nice home, and that will be all. But you see, within you, there will be a dissatisfaction that only the fulfillment of your God-ordained destiny can satisfy. Have it together. Amen. So every time we teach, we have to give that perspective. And when you're part of the local church, you have to ensure you are partaking of that perspective. You are aligning your pictures. Okay, to go beyond the immediate thing. You see, somebody say, look at what I'm going through. This is what is happening. Well, God can help to meet that. But God doesn't want you to be carried away by what you're going through, what is going on. Beyond that, he wants you to have a picture, to uphold a picture in your mind that his power can give motion to. And that picture has to be a picture beyond survival, a picture of a savior, a picture of a man and a woman who is rising with answers, who is rising with solutions, who is rising to provide answers to the questions. Some in your family, some of you, there are questions that your families have been asking for years. You are the one to rise with the answers. have it together. You are the one to rise with the answers to the questions of the generation, to the questions of your sector, of your city, and guess what? Of the nation. If the gospel doesn't give you that picture and doesn't power such picture into manifestation, then it's not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you here? Very important. So we titled it, Your Tongue and Your Destiny. If God really and ever has have the vision to change the world, we are his strategists. You've heard me say that again and again. The church is God's strategy on the earth. The ecclesia of God is God's strategy on the earth. An old saying, I believe it was Ian Bounds, once said that God's methods are men. Men are God's method. For anything to happen on the earth, God will have to partner with men. And guess what? God is calling somebody this morning to partnership. Glory to God. There are things he wants to do in politics. There are things he wants to do in the social justice landscape. There are things he wants to do in medicine. There are things he wants to do in education. There are things he wants to do in sports and entertainment. There are things, I mean, I saw a post this morning by a popular person, maybe an entertainer. I don't know. I just saw a name. I'm not sure who the person is. You know, with a Nike shoe. He says it's better to reign in hell than to serve in heaven. That is a post. But American. I'm going to do a post on that, maybe after this service. But you see, how did we get there? How did the human race get there? That's boldly, very boldly. I have the picture on my phone. Very boldly. That it's better to reign in hell than to serve in heaven. You are responding. You'll be surprised at how many thousands of people have been deceived this morning by that post. Why? He's influential. And humans are zombies until they meet Jesus. Meaning they flow in the direction of any force. But see, how do we get there? The church shied away from her responsibility in being truly the ground and pillar of truth in every sphere. That's what happened. Amen. In fact, in those days, any Christian who's an entertainer is called a joker. A Christian musician who's not singing worship song is called a joker. He has backslidden. Amen. If you want to go into sports, you are told you are not serious. Don't you know Jesus is coming very soon? If you are dreaming to be a VC of a university, you are told you are being ambitious, and it's carnal ambition. You see, those were the things that framed the mind of the religious Christians. And this is why we ran out of the government house and demons ran back there. Have it together. If truly every believer has a ministry, and that's a truism, that every Christian has a ministry, but it's just that the ministry is not like this on the pulpit preaching. The problem is, every time you mention ministry, somebody thinks of being a pastor, being an evangelist, being a prophet on the pulpit like this. That's the problem. But that's not God's intent. Just a little fraction. Maybe, let me say, 10 to 20% will carry out ministry like this the way I'm doing. But guess what? You are to carry out ministry in your various sphere. That's what we call destiny. Do you understand? Destiny is not just breathing air and wait for whatever comes your way. That is living by chance. Somebody say, what to be would be. You are not a Christian. You must be a Buddhist. What to be would be. Life operates by cause and effect. What to be will not be. It is what you make be that will be. What you make be, either by your action or inactions, that will be. Are we together? So, we are God's strategies. We are God's method. Oh, I know somebody is rising from this service as an answer. Somebody is rising. Something in you will say no. You remember the unjust steward in St. Luke's Gospel 13? He said, to dig, I'm not able. To beg, I cannot. I have now resolved. Somebody will resolve from this service. This is the direction my life will go. This is the trajectory my life must go for the praise of His glory. For some of you, it's to give new financial pictures in your entire clan. Poverty has beaten everybody down. God is saying, rise and be a model and be a reference point that others can see and say, Kai, truly, God can lift and bless. So will you marry mediocrity if that kind of thing is on your head? No. Are we together? Destiny is important too. When we stand before the Lord, that is what we'll give account of. It's not how many cars you had. It's not how figure eight you were. For those who will not be raptured, and for those who don't have the privilege to develop the faith for immortality, your body will die, it will perish. So when you stand there, what did you do? The unit of destiny is time. So what did you do with the time allocated to you? What did you do? What did you do with it? What did you do with it? Did you use it to drink La Casera and Igala on Todd Miller Bridge? In hold up? Did you use it to watch Telemundo? Did you use it to sleep? Did you use it to watch Z-World? Or you responded to the call of God? Or you raised a cry from your soul? And there's a diligent pursuit. You see, when you want something beyond normal, look at Elisha and the other sons of the prophet. You see, they were satisfied being referred to as sons of the prophet. But Elisha wanted something more. And you see, that wanting something more would require a pursuit. He says, stay here at Gilgal. He says, sir, I'm not staying. No. As long as the Lord liveth, I am going with you, sir. He says, stay here in Jericho. He says, sir, I am not, sir. As the Lord liveth, I'm going with you. He said, I'm going to Jordan. He says, sir, I am following you. And then they got there and he took his mantle and parted. Is that a normal human being? Jordan was parted. And then he did what? He followed him. He now turned. What do you want? What do you want? What do you want? But there was a diligence of pursuit. There's more to your life than marrying and having children. Oh, there's more. What's your life about? Will you respond to the call of God lurking in your soul? Will you respond? Many will be glad that you did. As the old songwriter says, he said, in heaven, somebody rushed and came and met them and said, thank you for giving to the Lord. And my life changed because you came. So we are tying this to the concept of destiny. Now, knowing all of this is not enough. That my life has to be about something big. I have a destiny to fulfill. I'm God's strategy on the earth is not enough. You must be equipped for it. Are we together? You must know the ordinances of heaven. Job 38 verse 33, I believe. He said, do you know the ordinances of heaven? Can you use them to regulate the earth? A translation says. Do you know the ordinances of heaven? Can you use them to regulate the earth? So after knowing that, look, life is beyond survival. I am here on a mission. I'm here as a minister of the gospel in politics, in education, in family life, whatever it is. You have to be equipped. You have to understand the laws of God. You have to understand the ordinances of heaven and how to use them to regulate the earth. Are we together? Am I giving perspective to the teaching now? Very important. Good intention is not enough. There were people who went into politics with good intention. They were pounded. Why? They did not understand the ordinances of heaven. They were ignorant of God's power systems. Good intention is not enough. There were good intended Christians who were promoted. The promotion was going to help more people. But you see, there were demonic people who were interested in the same position. They put charm on the seat for them and they sat down and died. Good intention is not enough. But you see, when you are wired as a minister, you will fear none of those things. Can I drop this here? In this end time, the people that God is raising for the different spheres of human endeavor will have the dealings of full-time ministry. Let me just drop you once and for all. Write it somewhere so that you don't forget. Did you hear what I said? You truly want to represent God in entertainment, in sports, in education, in politics. Calm down and have the dealings of a full-time minister. You may not believe me. Later you will. You want to represent God in economy and commerce, in business, finance? Deal with God like you are dealing with him to be a full-time minister on the pulpit. That means when Pastor so-and-so is going for school of ministry, you too, you are going for school of ministry. Because for you, politics is ministry. Am I talking? For you, sports is ministry. For you, business is ministry. Education is ministry. This is the approach that the end time believers must have. Not that laxness and say, when we arrive there, we'll glorify God. No. You'll be strangulated. Have the dealings of a full-time minister. Where people are looking at you, James, the way you are going is like you want to be a pastor. Say, yes, really. Just that I'll be a pastor inside government house. They'll say, Jane, the way you are going is like you want to be a pastor. Say, yeah, really. Just that I'll be a pastor in the education sector. Are you here? So when it's time to pray, you pray without reservation. Yes, sir. When it's time to fast, you fast without advice. Have it together. Because you know that what the Lord has committed to your hands is a ministry. Because you know there's a call in your soul to respond to. Amen. Your tongue and your destiny. This end time warfare is camouflage warfare. Camouflage warfare. Some of you are going to be missionaries to Europe. Some of you are going to be missionaries to Asia, missionaries to other African nations. But it will not be the old style of missions anymore. Do you understand? Where you go to one village and you are suffering and sweating and trying to give them water. No. Things have changed, you. Let me not even go in. Things have changed. Hope you know there is a rural-urban shift already. There's a reverse in the statistics in the last 40 years. There are more people in the cities and the suburbs now than in the villages. We would still send people to the villages and all that. But my point is, when we talk about missionary, let the picture be clear. Do you understand? You understand when we say missionary? Let the picture be clear. It means a person on a mission. A person carrying the gospel to a people group. Glory to God. Some of you will go to nations to just do masters and revival fire will break out on the campus. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. This is God's ideal for this generation. Glory to God. You met an IT consultant and you are talking IT and then he switches and starts giving you a word of knowledge and the power of God fills the place. You remember, was it Jerry that was saying, you see, the person falls out of the power, he stands up, he collects his money and goes. Hallelujah. Are we together? So wake up. This is not Indomie life. You are not here to be. Somebody say, you know, my purpose in life, my dream in life, I just want to be happy. Wake up, you will never be happy. Amen. What kind of purpose is that? You are here just to be happy. Wake up to this message now. Find something serious, a serious reason. Anchor your soul to a serious reason. Oh, I feel the anointing. And then you read the book, or is it moving on? The Pursuit of Happiness. If happiness is your goal, you never arrive. Life is bigger than that. Life is bigger than that. I just want to be happy. And then your vision is you and your children and your husband, okay, driving and the vacation. Let me mess somebody up this morning. That ain't going to happen. Find something huge and anchor your soul to. Find a big why and live for it. If you can truly think very deep, you figure out just by thinking that, look, this path is empty. I won't be satisfied. Glory to God. All right, so your tongue and your destiny. The concept of, or the power of words is part of that ordinances of heaven that you must understand to regulate the earth. Are we together? So let's read the scriptures. Let's read the scriptures. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 10. Very quickly, 1 Peter 3 verse 10. We'll read the scriptures, then I rush. I'm not entering into my message. Bro. Glory to God. Glory a Dios. Okay, I don't have it. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. So what is evil now? You've been hearing me teach for some weeks. What is evil? Okay, whatever is not consistent with God's word, you're following. That's evil. So you refrain your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3, very quickly. Hebrews 11 verse 3. Thank you, Lord. Hebrews 11 verse 3. Is it true faith? We understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Remarkable. Remarkable. Through faith, we understand that the words were framed, were mended, were designed, were restored to perfection, were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Aye! That means every material thing you can see was produced by something that eyes cannot see. It's called words. That means you can frame the days to come. Are we together? Glory to God. So words are powerful. I say to master words is to master life. To stumble in words is to stumble in life. Now, this is a law that governs the universe. This is why God doesn't want us to stumble in words. Have it together. There are people who say, oh God, take control. Take control of my life. Take control of this situation. Can I show you how God takes control? By taking control of your mouth. That's how God takes control. Glory to God. This is how God leads and directs our lives. James chapter 3, very quickly. James chapter 3 verse 2. James 3 verse 2. I want to see if I can enter into talking about increasing the energy of your words. Increasing the energy of your words. It says, for in many things, start from verse 1. I need you to follow closely now. You see, this puts you at the driver's seat of life. This is why you shouldn't envy anybody. What do you want? Create it. I said it in the first service, anointing has not finished. Money has not finished. Prosperity has not finished. Opportunities have not finished. So don't envy anybody and get into jealousy. Use your mouth to create your own realities. Use your mouth. Hallelujah. He says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive greater condemnation. Verse 2. For in many things we offend all, meaning we all offend in many things. But you see, if any man offend not in word, the same is a mature man. The word perfect there is teleios. It means mature. That means Christian maturity is connected to the use of words. It's connected to tongue control. That's what it's saying. How do we know a mature Christian? We don't know a mature Christian by how they dress. No. Not at all. Not at all. That is good. That's wonderful. That's commendable. You don't identify a mature Christian by how they look and their disposition. The trouser is high and he's saying, bless you, brother. Bless you, sister. No. Not by speaking Christianese, oh, it is well with you. No, it's beyond that. How do we identify a mature Christian? In fact, it's not even someone who has night vigils every day. No. There are things that scriptures are put as indicators of Christian maturity. This is one of them. He said, if any man offend not in words, or if any man stumble not in words, the same is a mature man. Look at this. And able also to bridle the whole body. That means a man that can control his tongue can control his body. Oh, you didn't get that. A Christian that can control his tongue can control his body. That's what he's saying. And then the next verse is going to show you clearly what I'm saying. Verse 3. Remember, this weekend is Total Immersion Easter Camp. And somebody is not happy. Total Immersion Easter Camp. On Good Friday, we'll be here for 10 hours. Amen. From 8 in the morning to 6 p.m. Glory to God. Saturday, we'll spend less time because we need to get ready for Sunday. On Sunday, we'll just have a combined service at 8. Okay? Glory to God. Is somebody here? It's Easter, and we will camp with the word and in prayer. Anybody that wants to come, we'll be here. Amen. If you think something else is more important, say no. It's fine. It's fine. You see, man by himself cannot enter the path of destiny. There are spiritual alignment. Listen, naturally, the human mind is aligned to mediocrity and smallness. Are you aware? And I'm not saying by saying it, you can say with your mouth, hey, I'm going to be great, I'm going to be great. Your heart will fight it. Are you here? Hi. Are you with me? But you see, this is part of the benefit of prayer. In the place of prayer, God breaks into your heart and causes unexplainable enlargements and causes unexplainable increase in vision, change of priority. That's what happens in prayer. That cry of the spirit is increased in the place of prayer. Where it's not because you are smarter than others, but you see that the things you are seeing is different. And you are not just seeing with your mind. There's a call in your soul to get it done. That's what happens in prayer. It is in the place of prayer that the zeal of God's house eats you up. Yes, and that zeal of God's house is not sleeping in church. Yeah. The zeal of God's house is that destiny I'm talking about. That kingdom within you coming out. That's the zeal of God's house. It will eat you up. It doesn't mean sleeping in church from 24 hours. No. So every opportunity to spend protracted time praying is an opportunity to strengthen your wing to part the Jordan. There are those who stand on the mountain to watch, and there are those who part the Jordan. You will choose your camp. And that happens in the place of prayer. There are those who win the prize, and there are those who get consolation prizes. You choose your camp. Hi. Did you hear what I just said? Especially those of you who are young here, when you hear protracted prayer, you pack yourself and come. You don't need prayer point to pray. You see, you don't develop a prayer life by prayer point. I've told you. Prayer point number one, my father, as I begin to pray, every enemy of my soul, no, those things there is Nigerian Christianity. You cannot develop a prayer life like that. A prayer life is built around fellowship and destiny. Where you don't know why you are praying, but you are praying. You just know, Lord, there is more, and I must get it. Lord, my soul yearns for something I don't know yet, but my eyes will be open to see it. You are just praying like that. Are you here? And bam, that fire is inflamed, is ignited. And then you see yourself in sync with the Spirit of God. You're walking in synchrony. You are taking steps. And the steps you are taking are the right steps. You see yourself at the right place at the right time. Your course is set. You are thinking the right thoughts. The right thoughts come to you. You see, one of the proofs that a person meets God are the thoughts that come to you. For some, why are some stranded and others making progress? The thoughts that come to them. And in the place of prayer, certain thoughts come to you. Certain thoughts come to you. You can't understand why you cannot be depressed. The same hot water that hardens the egg softens the carrots. Same. What is the difference? This is what I'm talking about. This, I've told you, we don't go in the way of Cain. We are the seed of Abraham. Cain built a city with toil, with human effort. But Abraham looked for a city, the heart foundation, whose builder and maker is God. That means the city is already built. You are positioning to inherit. Oh, did you get that? Bible says Abraham was looking for a city. If there was no city, he wouldn't have been looking for it. There's a city. Listen, everyone seated there has a city to inherit. But see, when you go the way of Cain, you try to build by yourself. Hallelujah. Are you blessed? Something I just know, but the thoughts came to me. Those thoughts were conditioned by being in certain meetings. I don't know. My life. You know, somebody asked me one day, how come you always knew what you were going to do? At every phase, you just step into you. I said, I just know. There's no so much effort. I just know. So how do you know it was time to stop practicing medicine and go into full-time ministry? I just knew. I knew in my Noah that it is time. And you develop that Noah. Did you get that English? But that's how to hear God. You know in your Noah that this is what to do. But see, those things are developed in atmosphere of prayer, atmosphere of the word, protected prayer and the word. So just stay and be praying. Libro gobosha, malige brodo kosoya, li ba 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 ba, li gebo corporate prayer. They were on campus with me. We used to pray. They used to follow me to pray. Pray like mad people. Is it every Thursday, every Wednesday? Minus the special ones. You just pray. There's nobody else planning to do ministry. Amen. You just pray. Glory to God. So Easter total immersion. See you around. See you around. You see at the root of every exploit is who you are and whose you are. Nicodemus met Jesus. He says, sir, no man can do this thing except God be with him. The focus of Nicodemus was doing. Jesus told him, he said, this thing doesn't start by doing. It starts by being. Except a man be born again. He cannot even see or perceive the kingdom of God. He's saying this thing starts by being. That's one. And then it starts by being born. Let me explain what I mean. It starts by belonging to someone. You cannot be born without the Father. That's what Jesus was saying. That the reason you see the things I'm doing, I have a Father. Did you get that? I have a Father. I have a Father. And you see, breaking into this thing as a walking revelation. Listen, one of the greatest mistakes a believer can make is to think that what you know in your head is already a working knowledge. No. It is revelation of the heart that guarantees results and productivity. And sometimes there's a staying, there's a constraining. The two disciples on the way to Emmaus, you remember? On the way to Emmaus, the Bible says they were discussing about Jesus, about this Jesus that they are not sure whether he's risen. Some people say his body was stolen. Others said some women came and said they found him is alive. And they were discussing with him. And Jesus was walking with them. They said, what are you discussing? And the twins say, are you a stranger in Jerusalem? Don't you read Jerusalem dailies? Have you not heard about Jesus? Who we thought was going to be the Redeemer, the Messiah of the Jews, who was crucified and killed. And now we're heartbroken. And then Jesus began to talk with them. He said, don't you know that according to the scriptures, the Messiah needed to die? And the Bible said, beginning at Moses and the prophet, he expounded to them the things concerning himself. And they said later that while he was talking with them, their heart was burning. But yet their eyes were not open to see him until they constrained him. The Bible said he wanted to depart. They constrained him. There was a protraction. That's a picture I want to paint. You see, that he was talking to them didn't mean they had seen him. That their hearts were burning didn't mean they had seen him. They had to stay a little longer. And then at the breaking of the bread, their eyes were open to see him. This is why the early church was very powerful. Protracted. Protracted. I'm trying to sell protracted meetings to you. Remember I said, you choose your camp. You want to be normal Christian or a minister of God? You know why the early church was powerful? They were given to prayer and the ministry of the word. You know how they did it now. Paul will keep people in the school of Tyrannus for 2 years. Every day. No, imagine praying and listening to God's word every day in one school of Tyrannus for 2 years. You'll be normal. You cannot be normal. You know the end product of that? Novices became episcopals. By the time you returned in Acts 20 or so, there were the overseers in the church at Ephesus. Those novices he met in Acts 19. What happened? Protracted interface in the school of Tyrannus, teaching every day the things concerning the kingdom. The things concerning the kingdom. The things concerning the kingdom. As they were hearing, they were changed. Transformation in this kingdom comes from beholding. He said, we are beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. We are changed into the same image. That means the more intently you behold, the more you are changed. The less you behold, the less you are changed. That's how. So, Christianity was not designed to be lived in the energy of the flesh by human effort. No, it was designed to be lived from beholding, by beholding. You behold and become. You behold and become. You behold and become. Kalako celebro de capitos, Sustapora de la capitosaya. If you have attended Total Immersion before, you know what I'm talking about. When we get to that hour 6, hour 7, the anointing changes. You begin to see healings, impartations of the Spirit with a strength, with a tensile strength that is different from regular impartation after 30 minutes. Are you here? No, when you read about Kenneth Hagin and the healing voice revival, how were they having meetings? 21 days. They said they had 21 days revival in Tulsa. They had 21 days. They have morning, afternoon, and evening. Every day. In fact, there are some, they won't start praying for the sick until after 1 week of those meetings. Then that's okay. Now you can bring the sick. What were they doing? They were conditioning the atmosphere. They were conditioning the people. I've told you, of course, we're going to get a large facility. Me, I cannot be preaching 15 minutes, too. Amen. On Sunday, praise God. But we'll have to do it now because of space. And that aside, we'll create opportunities for protected stuff like we're going to have this weekend. But the point is this. You see, interfacing with the word for just 15 minutes, 1 hour a week is not enough to train you for your ministry. Do you understand now? So we are talking about your ministry. We're not talking about you attending church. We're talking about the equipping, your empowerment for your ministry. Until that is done, you will not even have... have you ever tried to pour a gallon of water into a glass? Will it work? Maybe that's not a perfect example. Maybe when I remember, I'll give it a perfect... It can't take it. The space is too small. That's what you do to God when you don't enlarge your space. So he wants to do more. He wants to reach 2,000 orphans through you. But your capacity can handle 2. Why? This space is blocked by many things. 2 gig is Z-word. Another 5 gig is sleep. Amen. Is somebody here? 10 gig, premiership. 12 gig, PlayStation 3. Praise God. Are we together? Are you blessed? Why are you booning for me now? Don't boon for me. Oh. This is the word of the Lord for you. You better smile. Praise God. Glory to God forevermore. Are you blessed? Cancel every other thing. Let's come and stay here and soak. And soak. Enlarge capacity. Enlarge capacity. Let's stir that fire of the Spirit. Where our eyes are open to see. Suddenly, you see, prayer enlarges your vision. If a part of what I was supposed to say, but my time is up, I'll move it to third service. You see, a way to increase the energy level of your word is prayer. It's prayer. Oh, in Acts 4, the Bible says, after they had prayed, they spoke the word of God with boldness. There's boldness of utterance after prayer. Oh, there's boldness of utterance. And it's not just bone face. The energy of your words have increased. You see, words in themselves have power. But you see, power is in levels. Somebody can come and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, be healed. You know, Bishop Abiris was preaching and he said something that put tears in my eyes. I didn't know what to do. I was so inspired. He was talking about spending time with God and the power of words also. The power of you, of not like the power of words. Spending time with God and boldness of faith. Yes. He said, somebody had cancer and went to UK. And was going to UK and told him, he said, sir, they say I have cancer, I'm going to UK. He's okay, go to UK. When you get there, they will not find it. Since you have booked to go and see the doctor, when you get there, they will not find it. He said, person God, they called him. He said, sir, I'm in UK now. They've checked and they say the cancer is there. He said, my friend, what did I say? They cannot find it. And called the phone. After some days, he called by. He said, sir, they checked again. I'm cancer free. What gave or gave him audacity for such utterance? No, there are things you hear and you start crying. Was he in Congo in the 90s? They called Archbishop Benson Idahosa. There was drought. There was no rain in the country. And they called him to come and pray for. They say you should pray for him. He said, okay, organize a crusade. I will do crusade, then pray for the rain. Then he had crusade, preach, made utter call, and then stood. He said, Lord, now send the rain so that the cripples can run home. No, do you understand that? So that the cripples can run home. Glory to God. So, the more you are giving to these things, the ministry of the word, prayer, especially protected prayer, the more energy you put in your words. Energy you put in your words. Bullet has the ability to cause havoc, true or false. But if you carry a bullet in your hand and throw it and stone somebody, can it, okay, let's say hunting, not somebody, and you throw bullet on the antelope, can it kill the antelope? Use your hand to throw the bullet on the antelope, can it kill it? You see, you have to put the bullet in a system that can release it at a particular energy level. Oh, are you getting it now? The same thing with words. Throwing that bullet may just maybe cause small scratch on the antelope's body. It cannot bring it down. No. But when you put it in a system that can release it at a particular speed, it will produce a result. The same thing with words. You need to put words in a system so that they can come out at a particular energy level. So that when you are speaking, even you know. You know, years ago, I was praying for a cancer patient. She got completely healed. You know, I've been talking to her before then. That wasn't the first time. I'll encourage her, read scriptures to her. At that point, she had like 32 pints of blood. They had opened her up and closed her. They say inoperable tumor. That was always on her file. Inoperable tumor. Okay, that it had metastasized beyond the uterus. Okay, they were not sure whether it was ovarian or uterine. Or stop. It had gone. And then they just closed up. She was cachexic. I mean, she had lost weight and all that. And I've been praying and encouraging her. On this particular day, ayakabayataya, on this particular day, it was not the same. I walked to the word. I think she was in what, 18 or so, in the old church. I walked to the power of God is tangible. Yes, sir. It's tangible. Yes, sir. Sometimes when it comes, you know. There's a place. The power of God was upon me. Then I say, you are going to get healed today. And then I lay down on her and began to pray. You see, my words were coming out at a different energy level. I knew it. The power of the Holy Ghost was in the place. She was vibrating. When we're done, I say, you are healed. He said, yes, I am healed. I know it. In 2 weeks, she was discharged, healed. Do you understand? Enigma. Close up to die. Healed and discharged. What happened? Words were spoken at a particular energy level. High energy level. Father, we thank you. Father, we give you praise. Speak in tongues where you are. Oh God. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Speak in tongues where you are. Thank you, Jesus. Lebrosike potososhtapora de lekepa. Linta kepo. Just bring the Holy Ghost. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. Honda libra copatosa. Shalibra do capotosilaco brenda capatosai. Henda lida copracto coposostapora. Zalida coprenda capatososotola de capracopa. Libra da capatososostapora. Le brunda sostapora de lessa banana. Liso stapora de la capatosista. Ea roba gabana nosa. Ea na mana na 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 na. Sema na na no na no. Hallelujah. Verse 3 of that James 3. We'll just wrap up here. Verse 3 of that James 3. You know, verse 2 says, in many things we all offend. But if any man offend not in words, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body, right? All right? So look at it. He said, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us. And we turn about their whole body. How do you control a horse? Now talk to me. How do you control a horse? You put something in their mouth. The same way he's saying God controls you by putting something in your mouth. Did you get that? So how does God take control? By putting something in your mouth. So if God can take control of your mouth, he can lead you where he wants to. That's what he's saying. Because we put bits in horses' mouths and lead them where we want them to go to. The same way when we let God put his words in our mouth, he can lead us where he wants to. He can lead us. Green pastures. Where the opportunities are. Are you here? He can lead you. But see, it's difficult for God to lead a person without putting words in his mouth. That's what he's saying. So let God put his words in your mouth. It's a discipline. Say nothing apart from what God has provided for, or apart from what is covered within scriptures. I'm not saying quote scriptures all the time. No. Let your communication reflect the values of the kingdom. Let your communication reflect the authority of God. Let your communication reflect the wisdom of God. 2 weeks ago, I told you, he says, we speak wisdom. We speak wisdom among them that are mature. We speak wisdom. What wisdom? The wisdom of God. So speak wisdom. Let the word of God take control of your mouth concerning your business, your body, your health, your family, your future, everything. The word of God. The word of God. And be deliberate. The word of God. Oh, I'm fruitful and productive. I can never be barren. I can never have no result. In the name of Jesus, the hand of the Lord is upon me. Yes, Jehovah is with me as a mighty, terrible one. I can never crash. In a car, in a plane, in a ship, I can never crash. On a bike, it's not possible. Let Satan be the pilot. It can happen. In the name of Jesus, because Jehovah is with me. What are you doing? You are making God the Lord of your lips. That's what you're doing. That's what you're doing. That's what you're doing. So, he controls us by putting his words in our mouth. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the beauty and the glory of your word that has come to us this afternoon. We walk in the light of the words that we have heard. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Give the Lord a shout of praise.
We believe the Word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.